We are once again welcome to the Select Committee on Labour and Public Enterprises. Commissioner, I think I will talk to you. Relax. We've got the Department of Labour here with us today. They will present to us the annual report, the successes and the challenges, and hopefully we will get information as the Select Committee, not as a presentation to the Portfolio Committee, as we received yesterday the documentation that was saying. Presentation to the Portfolio Committee that was presented on the 20th of October. But let me say the department has apologized that it was just a mistake that happened. They really didn't mean to offend the Select Committee. So the DG, I think we know each other by now. If we're still going to introduce one, I think we're going to waste time. Can we just go straight, DG? We congratulate you for acting, and we wish that next time, you know, you'll climb. Over to you, DG.
Good morning, Chairperson, and honorable members. Without making specific introduction, I just need to indicate that here we have the top management of the department, but we also wanted to respect this committee by bringing people from provincial offices. We have them here so that they can be able to deal with specific issues that members will want to know about specific provinces.
I think on that note then, can we get the provincial representative just to introduce themselves so that we know them, only them.
Okay. Yeah. Good morning, Chairperson. Thank you. My name is Tebogo Tejani, the Provincial Executive Manager, Western Cape, based in Cape Town. Thanks.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Thembile Neshezi, Provincial Executive Manager, KwaZulu-Natal.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Andy Demakapela, the Provincial Executive Manager for Northwest. Thank you.
Chairperson, we only brought three, but next time we'll rotate and bring others from other provinces. Chairperson, as the Department of Labor, we really work as a team, and the presentation that we are going to present to you will be done in that regard. The heads, the branch heads, will make presentations in their specific areas. Service delivery will be presented by Ms. Yanda Zondegi. She's sitting over there. We also have program one, which is administration. We are going to be led in that regard by Advocate Pasha. Program 3 is led by Mr. Sam Rotoba, which is Employment and Skills Development Services. We know that it has moved over to higher education and training, but we are reporting for the previous period where it was still within the Department of Labor. Mr. Les Kettlers will lead us in the presentation of labor policy and the labor market program. And ultimately, we will have the Chief Financial Officer of the Department of Labor, Mr. Peggy, who's going to deal with the issues of finance and also the issues of audit queries. Chairperson, if I may start with the programs, that is Program 1. We are going to deal with communication, financial management, human resource management, IT, internal audit, and risk management. And the other programs I've already mentioned. We also have to indicate to the members our program of action, which is led by the Minister of Labour from 2004 and 2009, which consists of the following strategic objectives or key results areas. There are 10 key results areas. The first one is we need to contribute to the employment creation. We also need to enhance skills development, promote equity in the labor market, protect vulnerable workers. We also play a very important role in the strengthening of multilateral and bilateral relations. Also, we strengthen social protection through the Unemployment Insurance Fund and the Compensation Fund. We also promote sound labor relations. We strengthen the capacity of labor market institutions, an example like institutions like the CCMA and the Productivity South Africa. We also monitor the impact of legislation, and we also strengthen the institutional capacity of the Department of Labor internally, and that will be done by Advocate Pacha. I will give over to him to make a presentation.
Good morning, everybody. Let me immediately move into measure of objectives. The measurable objectives of program one, which is administration, are the following. That is communication, which its main function is to create awareness about the available services. The financial management, which is to enhance assets and office administration and supply chain management. Human resource management, which ensures effective and efficient utilization of human capital and renders legal services. Information technology, which through the PPP, private-public partnership with Siemens, caters for the full spectrum of IT needs and requirements of the department. Internal audit, which provides management and the audit committee with the independent objective assurance that improves effectiveness of governance, risk management, and control processes, and the risk management, which proactively manages and addresses risks that have a negative impact on the department, and security, which renders security support and aims at protecting the department's information and staff assets. Communication, let me move straight to communication, that is a program. Stakeholder relations through exhibitions showcase services of the department in various provinces. Marketing and advertising, 20 marketing and advertising campaigns implemented on the following, that is worker rights, employment equity reporting, occupational health and safety, learnerships for matriculants and unemployed, domestic workers, and sectoral determination, wage increases, and also the media license, which profiles the department in the electronic print media through the media statements, press conferences, and interviews for the executive and the senior manager. Sub-program human resource management, we have the 2006-2009 HR plan, human resource plan in place. Training and development, senior management participated in training and development programs, that is the CAEDU and also the personal development programs. Yes, performance management, increased compliance at all levels from level 1 up to level 16. And then we have three pillars of employment, employee health and wellness implemented on those areas, that is HIV and AIDS, TB management, disease management, health and productivity management. The employment equity plan is also monitored monthly. The financial management, that is the office of the CFO. Yes. It held regular audit matters forums to monitor and reduce the level of audit queries for the department. Annual financial statements were prepared according to prescripts, and budget advisory committee provided support to spending units of the department, and the spending was within the limits of the budget. On the public entities, that is financial liaison, we implemented enhancements to the annual financial statements for better compliance, facilitate submission and analysis of quarterly financial reports, identified performance gaps and generated reports for early warning systems, analysis and capturing of budget information for the CITAS, and follow-up and support of all critical and struggling public entities, giving guidance and feedback, capacity building training and skills transfer to the public entity personnel. And also managed office accommodation and repair maintenance program on state-owned buildings through public works, that is 9 contracts completed and 4 to be completed in 2010, contracts for 12 sheltered employment centers completed, and bid process for the headquarters building finalized. Work will start in 2009. Document and security archival storage facility improved. The subdirectory for asset management established with major asset registers in place for all provinces and head office. An asset register for information technology PPP with Siemens was developed. Information technology, that is the office of the CIO, the Chief Information Officer. The policies were developed to cover key areas in the IT environment, information system security, and network and user security. An IT disaster recovery plan was also approved, and the business applications deployed additional functionality and enhancement to current legacy systems at the compensation fund, additions and enhancements to the employment equity system. The EFSA rolled out to all labor centers, and enhancements made for stability and data integrity. Financial management systems for the unemployment insurance fund, the compensation fund, and the national skills fund initiated. Service delivery for remote areas enabled by providing IT a service to 20 mobile labor centers. Internal audit scheduled 57 audits, completed 42, and issued the report thereof, and 15 could not be performed due to lack of resources. The audit committee of the department functions optimally and meets regularly at present, and a risk management unit is introduced, and a risk management plan is also developed to be managed by the senior management. Security. In the directorate, security, electronic security systems is implemented in high-risk KwaZulu-Natal. Several security appraisals and assessments implemented in key provincial offices and labor centers, and bid to improve the compensation fund security is at an advanced stage at the moment, and contract security procured for various provincial offices and labor centers. Cases of IT equipment losses reduced by 75% with the introduction of investigations on security breaches, and theft of IT equipment. Officials are paying back the debt grant value of equipment losses at the present moment. At service delivery now, program 2.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, honorable members and colleagues. For service delivery, the measurable objectives for 2008-09, which are contained in the estimate of national expenditure, we are intending to increase a percentage of registered work seekers placed in registered employment opportunities to 70% by 2010-2011. Assess and refer 10% of work seekers to identified critical and scarce skills and development programs by 2010-2011. And ensuring training of unemployed people, 90,000, and have out of that 70% placed in employment through the National Skills Fund and the CITAS, and of that training offered, 26% must be accredited. We also intend or working towards reducing workplace-related injuries, illnesses, and deaths by 2% year 2010-11, ensure 75% compliance with labor legislation by inspected workplaces by 2010-2011, and promulgate the National Occupational Health and Safety Legislation and implement by March 2010. But there are developments, other developments in the process in this area where we were looking at having an integrated inspectorate for the country. Also, we intend to have a total of 90% of UI claims processed and paid within 5 weeks. The actual performance in terms of those objectives is that the first output is a single integrated employment services system, which is rolled out to improve access to employment services in provinces. And the system is has been rolled out to 125 labor centers across the country. We also had a pilot study which was rolled out to offer the services, employment services, to two labor centers in Toyando, in Limpopo, and one pilot was in Pretoria. There are resource centers and career information and guidance introduced in these pilot sites, which serviced about 4,141 clients. There was also a roving team of 37 staff members trained to provide career guidance and counseling, and out of that, 13,107 clients were counseled, and 5,586 were job seekers. And this statistics is only from those pilot sites. We also have more job seekers which accessed employment services, and they were supported, especially through the career counseling and assessment. There was also networking with stakeholders, matching of individuals to opportunities, recruitment and selection to access opportunities. On the second output, we registered work seekers, in fact, they increased by 252,627, which were registered in the previous year. And we placement opportunities were also registered on the database, and they increased by 10,968. There were 7,553 job opportunities which were registered on the system. Over 421,686 job seekers were registered on the database compared to our performance in the previous year, where we only registered 169,000. Over 26,332 and placement opportunities were registered on the database compared to 15,000 plus job opportunities registered in the previous year. And out of that 26,332, 22,917 were job opportunities and 3,415 were learning opportunities. Over 70% of the registered placement opportunities, where we have 65% out of that being permanent employment and 104.9 being learning opportunities, were filled compared to 36.3 in 2007-08. The total of 18,404 job seekers were placed in employment and in learning against the target compared, I'll see the number there, but that's the target compared to 5,578 in the previous year. And that's the provincial breakdown in terms of job seekers registered, opportunities registered on the system, placements out of those opportunities. It's the figures that I mentioned earlier, but this is just the breakdown per province. And I think it's contained also in the annual report. In terms of assessing and referring work seekers to identified critical and scarce skills development programs, with the output, we were supposed to have 10% referred, and 8,531 registered job seekers were assessed, and 7,343 were referred to identified critical and scarce skills development programs, against a target of 6,000. 7,546, which is 89% of the registered job seekers, were assessed with the SPEAKS assessment instrument for learnerships, internships, etc. And these were mainly for strategic government job creation initiatives such as GOHA, Department of Health, contribution to EPWP, the National Youth Service, and CTZ. And that is the breakdown of assessed work seekers, again, per province. Also, this information is contained in the annual report. In terms of the National Skills Development Services strategy, the targets, we need to implement targets and ensure that those are aligned to our skill set. We have, in terms of provincial skills plans, those were reviewed to ensure alignment to provincial growth and development strategies, the IDPs, the local economic development within provinces. And out of that, 1,673 projects were identified and listed in the provincial skills plan. The training programs, the EPWP and the NODES, were finalized, and the total number of 10,390 unemployed people were trained in support of EPWP at a cost of 36.6 million. A total number of 3,315 unemployed were trained in support of ISRDP at a cost of 15.3 million. A total number of 447 unemployed were trained in support of urban rural program at a cost of 2.9. And that is the breakdown again per province. This is also contained in the report. That's a training per province with loads. And then in terms of the key results area 3, which is promoting employment equity, equity in the workplace, we have 20 provincial staff members on the project which were capacitated to enforce Employment Equity Act, and 74 employers were subjected under the Employment Equity Act DG review. 12,514 employment equity designated employers were identified to enforce procedural compliance, and only 9,723 were inspected. and 83% complied within 90 days of inspection against the target of 10,000, compared to 8,000 plus inspected in the previous year. And you can see that the compliance rate increased a little bit from 81% in the previous year to 83% in 2008-09. It means therefore that we have improved a little bit in terms of monitoring and enforcing only procedural compliance in terms of employment equity. And that is the breakdown per province in terms of inspections conducted. The output, in terms of the output for 2008-09, we set the target at 180,000 workplaces to be inspected, where we wanted to ensure that we achieve 80% compliance. And the compliance level increased by 5% from 78% in 2007-08 to 83% in 2008-09, although the total number of workplaces inspected decreased by 46,000. The volume of workplaces inspected and the optimal utilization of resources remain a challenge, and I can say here that we're still experiencing this the staff turnover within the inspectorate division. We also monitored and enforced compliance, and in this regard, a total of 23,297 undertakings were secured during inspection, and 1,225 improvement notices were issued, 9,908 contravention notices, 1,255 prohibition notices, where we shut down the operation. And we also have 2,251 compliance orders which were issued in the previous year. And that is the breakdown of total number of workplaces inspected, the undertakings, that's the statistics that I referred to in the previous slide. In terms of protecting vulnerable workers, a total of 178,863, which is 79% of the 226,297 labor complaints were received and investigated, and those were finalized within 90 days against a target of 80%. Compared to the previous year where we achieved 79% of finalization within the 90 days. The 80% target was missed, as you can see, by 1% in terms of finalization. However, over 6,106 more complaints were received, and over 5,800 more were finalized compared to the previous year. In terms of ensuring that at least 2,000 of reported OHS incidents are finalized within 90 days, we have a total of 2,956 of the 5,326 incidents reported which were investigated and finalized within the 90 days against a target of 2,000. And that is the breakdown per province. Also, in terms of advocacy and police inspections, which were planned with a target of 10,000 workplaces, the programs were developed and targeting high-risk industries, and 10,285 inspections were conducted in those industries, which is construction. 2,458 workplaces were inspected. In iron and steel, 2,449 were inspected, and in food and beverage, we had 2,701. With agriculture, 2,677. against a target of 10,000, and that is the breakdown per province, and that is all. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Good morning, colleagues. The Employment and Skills Development presentation covers a number of areas. Firstly, it gives a sense of progress against the National Skills Development Strategy, but also it attempts to summarize detailed information that is contained in the individual 23 CETA annual reports. Secondly, Umsobomvu Youth Fund, Productivity South Africa, and the National Skills Fund projects, those that we funded under the Department of Labor. My colleague, Ms. Zondeke, has covered some of the provincial breakdown. I will not repeat those. And the reports of the, that is the project that we funded with CETAS jointly, other government departments, and again, in all these instances, detailed information, including the breakdown, is contained in the annual report of all those entities that we tabled in Parliament. And what we did was to extract the key achievements against all those entities. And if we can go to the measurable objectives, especially the NSF, Senda already covered the 90,000 unemployed persons that the NSF mainly funded, and the expectations was to place 70% of those in employment, and that the NSF also provides top-up funding to CETAs, SMMEs, and NGOs. We also provided, in terms of measurable objectives, we're required to provide top-up funding to the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, the National Research Foundation, to assist at least 26,000 unemployed learners. And we're also expected to provide funding through partnerships with Umsobomvu, SIDA, to support at least 3,000 youth in new venture creation and to ensure 70% new ventures are sustainable after, that is after completion of the program. And we put a target of at least 12 months amongst those who completed the previous year. The total amount of money, excluding the vote that is allocated to Productivity South Africa and Umsobomvu Youth Fund, this is the money that we derive from the skills levy. In total, during the financial year 2008 to 2009, we collected 7.3 billion, of which 5.8 billion was transferred to CETAS and 1.4 billion. Was transferred to the National Skills Fund. The 1.4 billion is the 20% of the total levies collected. In terms of the sub-program output, achieving the, that is, fourth year targets of the implementation of the NSDS, on Indela, we had a target to train 1,200 small business enterprises and cooperatives. In that area, we managed to exceed the target. 2,251 were trained. We had a target of 10,000 people to participate in trade tests. The actual was 8,300 that were assessed, of which 3,300 passed. I must indicate that this is just Indela alone. It excludes the number of artisans that were assessed in other trade test centers that are under different CETAs. The target of 40% was surpassed. We managed to reach 41%, and on the total number of artisans registered across Switzerland, we had a target of 18,600. We were just 1,000 below that target. We managed to get a total of 17,200. The large number of learners were mainly in the learnership. Against the target that is 16,000 unemployed people assisted to enter learning programs, we surpassed the target in that we managed to have across all sectors 41,000. 8,000 people complete programs. Of those that started in the during the previous year, 31,000 managed to complete, and 4,500 undergraduate bursaries awarded. We only managed to allocate 1,700, and this was because of the low intake at the NSF, that is NASFAS, and the National Research Foundation. We corrected that problem by bringing in a said organization called CareerWise, so that we can increase the numbers, because we realized that NASFAS and NRF, with the money that they were dealing with from education, there was a backlog, which is the reason why we brought in the said organization. The postgraduate, again, we had a target of 1,500 and only 997 were awarded. On the ABET learners recruited on the NSF, excluding CITAS, we targeted 40,000 and only 21,000 managed to start during the financial year. Part of the problem we experienced had to do with the procurement processes that delayed us to kickstart the program. On the on the unemployed people, which was mainly in the Gulf provinces and covered by SIANDA, the numbers, the low numbers of 15,000 against the 90,000 target, was mainly due to the suspension of training that we had to effect for the whole year. We could not engage or allow provinces to take on new contracts, and this was because the Auditor General queried the process that the Department of Labor used over the years since the inception of the training of unemployed people, to say that the process is not in line with the new procurement regulations, and therefore the expenditure that was incurred during the 2007-8 and 8-9 was declared as irregular. If you go to our annual report, you will notice that there is that disclosure. And to correct that, we had to redo the whole process of registering providers and making sure that we realign processes to align with the new procurement regulations. And that is why the less number of learners that were trained. In fact, the number that we have there were as a result of the contracts that were entered during the previous year, which also means that the expenditure incurred in terms of all those learners will still be declared or disclosed as irregular during the 9-10 financial year when we table our annual report. The 63,000 unemployed placed, I think it's linked to the first point, because out of the 90,000, the target of placement was 63,000, and from the 15,000 that were trained, only 8,800 managed to be placed. On the community-based cooperatives, we had a target of 400. We managed to train only 367. The SMMEs, NGOs that we intended supporting, were the target of 5,800. We surpassed the target by 7,600 NGOs and co-ops being trained. on the Abbott learners across Scooters, we had a target of 44,000. This is levels 1 to 4 adult learners, both in employment and out of employment. We managed to train just below that number, only 40,800, of which 14,000 completed. And this is because of partly the low intake at filter levels and the high dropout rates that we experience amongst especially unemployed adults in other programs. It has to do also with the time for attendance in some of those classes and so on. The target of 56,000 workers in employment assisted to enter learnership, apprenticeships, and internships, including bursaries. This is one area where we saw during the financial year remarkable achievement in that we doubled the target. More and more people in employment are reverting back to skills development because it actually assists them in terms of mobility, guarantee to employment, in fact also to actually move up the grading levels within the companies and so on to increase their income. And that is why we've seen a lot of workers, and if you look at the completion rate from the previous year, we had something like 120, and out of that 120 from the previous year, 109 workers completed those learning programs. So there is also a very, very low dropout rate amongst people who are in employment because they are taking these training interventions very, very seriously. On the unemployed people, we had a target of 43,000, especially in learnerships and internships. Of that number, including internships and learnerships, we have seen a remarkable increase in that we surpassed the target, 60,000 entered, and from the previous year's entry levels that were in the region of 93,000, 63,600 of those completed. On the learners that we supported to enter higher learning through bursaries, and those that were supported to go internationally, we had a target of 9,000. 13,000 of them were placed in work. On the new ventures, we had a target of 3,200. 3,900 entered new venture programs. And we've seen out of the total number of people who completed and started new ventures from the previous year, 12 months after they started those new ventures, 475 of them were still functioning. I think the rest collapsed because of issues around startup funding and so on. On the sector development facilitators, these are people who assist companies to develop plans. We had a target of 15,000, 18,000 of them were trained. In large firms and medium firms, we targeted to support 3,400 and 4,700 medium firms respectively, and we exceeded that target in that 4,200 and 5,600 companies were assisted. The small paying, that is the small paying levy companies, these are companies that have a payroll that is just above 500,000. We targeted 25,000 and 26,000 of them were supported. In terms of government departments, we have a total of 84 government departments. One of our core responsibilities, because government departments do not pay a levy, we have to ensure that all of them spend 1% of their personnel budget on training, and we managed to secure a 65, that is a total of 65, which equals to 77% of the total government departments who manage to use and report on their 1% expenditure on training. 1,400 was a target for small BEE and cooperative firms that we supported. These are mainly in the non-levy paying, and we managed to support 2,200 firms. On the number of people that is, we had a target of an annual increase of people who benefit from workplace skills development support, and this we could not put a target specifically, but this is a program that we run jointly with DTI, where DTI will bring in new investors in the different regions of the country, and as part of those investment in Kuha, in a whole range of areas where there are major developments, we will go into partnership with them. And in terms of the new ventures or new investments that came into the country, we were able to enter into partnerships where we secured 2,000 new workers trained with DTI, and a total of 19 million was allocated, and out of that 45 SMME companies benefited. We also entered into a business processing outsourcing project with DTI. This program started in the 2007-08 financial year. It had something like 1,300 learners, and the learners that we had during the 8-9 were the remaining learners, or learners that started late in the program, and we allocated an amount of 17 million to DTI, and during the last financial year, the remaining learners of 151 completed, and we are now into a new partnership with DTI, where we allocated a 60 million budget committed to train 12,000 workers over the next 3 years, and to date only 1 million was claimed. And this claim of 1 million was mainly around the 151 learners. The intake on the 12,400 has not yet happened, and as DTI begins to recruit those learners, we will provide you with a report on the progress in terms of those learners. We had a target of 92 provider institutions accredited as new venture creations. We surpassed the target. 138 institutions were accredited. In terms of improving the quality of learning, we must also extend our thanks and appreciation to this committee, the Select Committee and the Labor Portfolio Committee, for having assisted us in terms of the amendment to the skills development legislation, in that that legislation now establishes the council, the quality council for trades and occupations, albeit that the council will be under the Ministry for Higher Education and Training. But I think this is the one area where we will be able to monitor and ensure improved quality, and move away from the current ad hoc arrangement. In terms of the capacity of stakeholders, this is one area where we give money to organizations such as COSATU, FEDUSA, NACTU, employers organizations, community organizations, and so on, to make sure that they actively participate in skills development and they are well capacitated and they are familiar with those issues, so that the interest of their members are properly articulated, be it in CETA boards and so on. And in this area, we managed to give a total of 7 constituency organizations a total of 12 million, which managed to train 3,263 of their members to participate effectively in all these initiatives. This included shop stewards, people in various communities and provinces to participate in the skills development forums and so on. And this we still had 20 million reserved that was targeting a total of 18 constituencies, and we're hopeful that going forward those organizations will make use of those funds and stop complaining that they are not familiar or being given opportunity to participate in this intervention. On the promotion of productivity, we had a target of 26 education and training providers. Productivity SA managed to train 55. We had a target of 1,800 new and emerging entrepreneurs trained in productivity improvement competencies. That target was not achieved. Only 900 of those were trained. Skills development facilitators, we had a target of 120, only 78 were trained. We had a target of 530, managers trained in productivity enhancement skills, and that target was surpassed. 569 were trained. And we had a target of 120 future forums established. These are areas where we discuss turnaround strategies where companies are faced with possible retrenchment and so on. And only 105 future forums were established. In terms of Umsobomvu, we had a target of 288 youth advisory centers, 151 were established. We had a target of 38,500 young people trained in National Youth Service projects, and that target was not achieved as only 34,000 were trained. 6,000 unemployed graduates enrolled in training programs, that target was also not achieved as only 700 were trained. And Umsobomvu had a target of 830 million new business opportunity loans granted to various emerging new organizations, and out of that target of 830, only 39 million was distributed, and 14,000 jobs created amongst SMMEs. That target was not achieved. Only 12,000 were basically sustained. In terms of the workplace skills development support program, this is again a project with DTI. These are the targets in terms of gender, in terms of youth, in terms of people with disability. We have in the NSDS a target of 85% of the learners being black, 54% of learners being women, and 4% being people with disability, and youth to constitute the majority across all sectors. This is the target that is in the National Skills Development Strategy. And this just gives you a summary of the achievement against that equity target. And again, the detailed annual report of Umsobomvu, each sector, does provide a breakdown at provincial level in terms of each program that we funded, the gender and equity, and this just to give you a global picture on how we are faring. In terms of the workplace support program, we have seen an increase in the participation of that is black people where the total percentage is at 88%, and we've seen less female participation in those programs, where the against the target of 54%, only 38% participated. The next target in terms of unemployed people, that one we surpassed, and these are programs that are 3 weeks to 6 months. The black participation level in those programs is 98% black. We have reached a target of 54% women, and people with disability, we did not reach that target, only 2% as opposed to the 4% target, and youth constituted 61% across all those programs. On the community-based cooperatives, this mainly 95% were mainly black females, 65% we surpassed their target, and youth were only 41%. People with disability in the cooperatives were 4%. On the undergraduate programs, again, I think I touched that figure. You can move on this. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson, members of the committee. Let's focus on one measurable objective: to improve employment equity by inspecting additional Johannesburg Stock Exchange listed companies each year for substantive compliance with legislation. Here we set a target of 60 companies for the financial year 2008 and 2009. We have done 74 companies, but I will again explain what we do here. The employment equity legislation provides for what is referred to as a review by the Director General. And the purpose of that review is for the Director General to request an employer to submit to the Director General a copy of its current analysis or employment equity plan. You can also request an employer to submit any book or record or correspondence or document or information that could reasonably be relevant to the review of the employer's compliance. You can also request a meeting with the employer to discuss its employment equity plan, the implementation of the plan, and any matters related to its compliance with the Act. That is in terms of Section 43 of the Act. Now, subsequent to the review, the DG can then either approve an employer's employment equity plan or make a recommendation for an employer in writing stating what steps the employer must take in connection with his employment equity plan or the implementation of that plan or in relation to its compliance with the Act, the period within which those steps must be taken, and any other prescribed information that the DG may want to convey. Now, in reviewing the compliance of these 74 companies, some of the issues that we found during those compliance assessments was, for example, that no senior manager was assigned in terms of the provisions of the Act. The law does provide that an employer must assign a senior manager whose responsibility it would be to facilitate the implementation of employment equity within that company. We also found that some companies did not consult as is required by them in terms of the law to consult with employees. We also found that they have not done an analysis in terms of the Act before they can implement a or develop an employment equity plan. They must do an analysis of the workforce so as to determine what barriers exist and then to include in their plan measures to address those barriers. Some of the other issues that we found was that the plan itself of some of these companies were not complying with the provisions of the law. There were certain shortcomings in their plans. And lastly, when they submit the report, as they large companies have to do every year in October, we found that some of those reports were left incomplete. There were several errors that we had picked up in those reports. So in conducting the DG review, where we have come across these problems in terms of the legislation, the DG would then send a letter to the company concerned, setting out recommendations of what the company must do and by when the company must do that. So we have, for these companies that had been reviewed, submitted letters to them setting out what the recommendations are in respect of those companies. Now, in a follow-up then, we will then go back to the companies to check whether those recommendations have been implemented and whether it has been implemented within the time frame that we had agreed. Now, when we give the letter of recommendation to the company, we in fact discuss it with them so that there's no misunderstanding about what the recommendation entails. We discuss with them the time frame to determine whether or not there is agreement that the time frame that we put forward is achievable. And in discussion, sometimes we change it a little bit, not much, because if you allow them to change it much, the time frame, then nothing is going to happen. So we then, having reached agreement, having reached an understanding on the recommendations, and having reached agreement on the time frame within which those recommendations must be implemented, we then sign the recommendations. Both sides then sign it, indicating commitment to implement those recommendations. Now, Chairperson, we have also then, in that process, as was reported in the service delivery presentation, we have also built the capacity of 20 provincial staff members during the course of these DG review compliance assessments, so that when we move to the next phase, as you will see at the bottom of the slide, some companies will be assessed at provincial level as part of building the capacity in the provinces. So those that have been participating in these national reviews of the companies concerned will then at the provincial level take forward that process in following up and also beginning to assess substantive compliance of companies at the provincial level. So there are now, in this financial year in which we are now, a total of about 106 companies that we are going to follow up, as you will see from the slides, 2006, 7, 7, 8, and 8, 9. If you add up those, then it's 106 companies that we have so far done. Now, we targeted the top 100 of the JSC, but it doesn't mean that we've now gone six beyond the top 100. The 74 companies are still within the 106 companies are still within the 100 JSE listed companies, and the reason for that is that some companies have different subsidiaries. You take Marion Roberts, for example. They have different companies all called Marion Roberts, but they are separate entities by themselves. Bitvest, for example, is also a company with a lot of subsidiaries. So we then do a company plus its subsidiaries, and that is why we then have a total of 74 companies assessed thus far. The Chairperson, that is the presentation just in dealing with this measurable objective on employment equity. Thank you.
Thank you, colleagues. Chairperson, Program 5, Social Security, relates to two funds, the UIF and the Compensation Fund. They have their separate reports. We are going to have Mr. Mkonto to present and also Mr. Ferreira to present on those. But the four programs that were just presented now are supported by the budget, and the CFO is going to take us through the budget and how it was spent, and also the report of the Auditor General, so that members can have an understanding on how we perform in terms of governance.
Honorable Chair and members of the committee, I will just go through the figures for the allocation for the branches. I will not probably dwell much on them. Suffice to say that we have spent 94% of our allocated budget of 1.7 million. And the spending per program is shown on that slide. Probably where we'll need to dwell on is on the audit report, wherein the Auditor General has made pronouncement on our financial management. Before we can even go straight to the audit report, I have to note that the department, or in our annual report, there are three institutions upon which the Auditor General reports on. Is the main division of the Vote 15, which is the department, and also two programs of the department which are audited separately, that is the National Skills Fund and the Sheltered Employment Centres. Let's then go straight to the department. The Auditor General has found the department wanting on the management of assets, and therefore we received a qualification, and they probably mentioned the issues where they were not happy with in terms of the number of the number of assets not on the asset register, and the asset register not properly maintained, and the reconciliation for the previous years. Also, the other issue was the management of the IT assets, wherein the Auditor General find that the addition on the IT assets could not balance. And the National Skills Fund received an unqualified report, except for the matter, for the matter of emphasis, of which I think my colleague Sam Morotoba did highlight on it, wherein our procurement processes were not aligned. As a result, we had a irregular expenditure of 648 million, and the challenge on this one is that we could not get a condonement from the treasurer, from the national treasury on this amount. Hence, it's still in our annual report. The last one is the sheltered employment factories, where they received a qualification on the valuation of inventory, and the emphasis of matter on some two issues, which is the irregular expenditure on the non-adherence to the supply chain principle, and the other one on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure on the cell phone contracts and storage costs, which they have incurred. I think that summarizes the issues on the audit on the audit qualification from the Auditor General. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think we have presented everything about the department. Our approach is that we can receive questions for the department, and thereafter we can then deal with the department.
Thank you very much, Member Honorable Sibande, Honorable Mlenzani, and that part.
Thank you, Chairperson. And also, I'd like to maybe to thank the department to give us this information. But nevertheless, we ought to ask questions. My first question, Chairperson, is about why were the non-learning opportunities registered in both Mpumalanga and Gauteng North in your presentation, of which I will encompass that question with the other one, that about the enhanced skills development training in support of government, the progress EPWPs, that even there's nothing in Mpumalanga in particular. And then again, Chairperson, I've got a serious concern about the issue of workers in terms of protecting vulnerable workers. I was happy during the input they even in, mentioned about COSATU and some of the structures to take, to participate, to assist on 123. But my concern is about the ongoing discussion about brokers, which includes brokers, as part of contributing factor to vulnerable workers. That how far is the department in implementing professionalization of the inspectorate in that regard? And then the other one, which is worrying me, concerning the issue also which was raised by the Auditor General about the issue of the cell phones. I wanted to find out that do employees continue using the entity's cell phone even after resigning? If yes or no, why did the SFF pay cell phone contracts for former employees? Because that has affected that budget. Why was not paid that money? And another one, Chairperson, I think I would make it to be a last, because I've got a lot of questions to ask, is that how many critical skills trainees were placed in employment opportunities during the 2008 and 2009 financial year? I'd like the last one then. In regard of your report about the issue of employment and etc., maybe if you can maybe clarify us concerning the statement which was raised by the president of the country, President Hlekisa Zuma, about the issue of the jobs. Whether I wanted to find out your contribution in that regard, in that statement, whether to contribute something, or is it silence about what was raised during the sauna. Niyabonga, Chairperson. Maybe I'll come in the next round.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I will take just four for now. We hope that you will allow me to come back. Then let me start by welcoming the report. Well tabled. Except for one thing, Honorable Chairperson, just a comment that unfortunately for me, taking all of the apology that you have put in front of us on behalf of the department, but I took that judgment as a misdirection and did not even look at it. I thought it was misdirected to my office. It was not for me. I'm not serving in the portfolio committee. So I only focused on this document, the annual report. So my questions will then therefore be based not on the presentation, but on the fact that I think the department will be able to do. On page 37 of the annual report, the other thing, Chair, unfortunately, is that some tables here are numbered and some are not numbered, which is also an unfortunate situation. But be that as it may, I tried in the past 2 days to struggle. So if I don't mention a table, then the department will bear with me. On page 37, there's a table there illustrating
the targeted numbers of job seekers. Now, I'm interested as to how did the department decide on this target. Particularly, Eastern Cape and KZN, where I know the levels of unemployment as to what informed those, and the department deliberately, if you look at the targets there, they have been set low. Is that deliberate so that at the end of the day we are able to say yes, the department has delivered? Also, Chairperson, the second question would be, Honorable Sibande has somehow touched this question around protecting vulnerable workers on page 44. I'm looking, it links with my first question. I'm looking at the financial year 2007-2008 and the one under review, 2008 and 2009. You'll find that there's a decrease in workplaces visitors. We are told that financial year it was 200665 workplaces visited and inspected. This time around, it's 134280. Also, Chairperson, now, there's this 5% that we are told that there's a 5% increase in compliance. Now, my question is, what guarantee do we have that, in essence, there is this 5% increase in compliance when workplaces visited has been, you know, cut? The second question around that is the breakdown. Has the department made a breakdown of the analysis report, analyzing the reports given in terms of complaints? For instance, are we sure that this are valid statistics that were given? So that in the Eastern Cape I'm able to be given documentation, and when I'm at home, I visit some of these areas. Linking with the visit also, who are these complainants, the majority of them, and what type of complaints are these? Which sector, because we will also be interested into which sectors are actually affected. And what is it that the department has done to begin to settle these complaints? Once more, if you look at that report, you know, I'm always biased to Eastern Cape, but I will always mention Eastern Cape and KZN this time around because they are neighbors. Once more, you will notice that the report there talks of the high number of incidents, particularly the OHS-related incidents in KZN. Now, one would want to know, why does KZN have the highest OHS incidents? And which of these sectors, or which sector, has got this? Chair, on page 55, the department is talking of the targets in terms of percentages on various programs, for example, on workers assisted for skills, learnership. You will find that the target was far, you know, it was reached and it was exceeded. You know, far surpassed. Now, budget implications of that. One would want to know. Also, there are some departments which are alleged not to have
begun to spend that 1% on training. That's page 58 of this document. What measures have been taken to address cooperation from this department? Also on this matter, what skill development programs are there for your small BEE firms and cooperatives? How are they supported? I said I will take four for now. Just last one now, Chair. On the Auditor General support. Two things, but they are linked. If you read page 87 of the document, if you look at the report by the AG, it's bullet 25. Lack of effective, efficient, and transparent systems and internal controls regarding performance management. If you look at that, it links Chairperson with violence and shifting of funds. Now, what informed, because if you look at the report, it says this shifting of funds mostly affecting the capital expenditure, which is in contravention of the Public Finance Management Act. I think section 43. Now, what informed that, and why did that happen? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Yes, I want to thank the department for this very fruitful report from their site. It's a lot of information, and I don't think we will get to all the answers in this document. But I want to know that we spent millions of rands to train people. And at the end of the day, when these people are trained, there's no jobs for them. What are the department doing to create jobs from your side to help these, especially our youth? That is where the problem is lying in South Africa at this stage. What are you doing to create more jobs for these people from your side? Or just training people and training people, and at the end of the day, we sit with another problem. We're frustrating people. Now they've got certain skills, and at the end of the day, there's no jobs for them. So I see a big problem in this area. And also, what our president said in the beginning of the of his term, that he will create before the end of the year 500,000 jobs. And that is, all of us know it, it's not possible. We lost about 500 jobs since he made that announcement. And now we must looking about for a million new jobs. And I can't see what are we going to do, because that is a world crisis we've had at this stage. I know it. And but what are we going to do in South Africa? And what are we going to do, especially in our rural areas? That is where the big problem is. And the influxing of our neighbor countries. People is just getting into South Africa because this is the place to be. And what are we going to do with that? People are coming and they actually steal jobs from our people who are staying in South Africa. What are the department going to do with that? And then, Honorable Chair, if we are looking into the labor brokers, that was a serious issue in this past month. And what are the department going to do to, how can I say no, to save them, yeah, to save them. Because from my party's viewpoint, we believe we must save these people. And if you are getting into investigation, I want to ask you how many labor brokers have we in the white side, and how many labor brokers have we in the black side? So I want to know, because I believe there's a lot of people who are going to lose their jobs if we are getting into this, and how are the people going to feel about that?
Right. Then I also want to know Mpumalanga and there's another provinces. Mpumalanga. Mpumalanga. It seems to me there's a problem. If we get into this job seekers and the registering of job seekers, if you can just explain more, because some places there's a 0%. So what happened there? I want to know what happened there. Why are these provinces getting behind? I think I've got another one. If the department can give us the figures of what is the workforce of South Africa at this stage? Estimate one. Maybe you can help us with that. Estimated workforce. And if we get to the Auditor General's report, and we look into the assets, I want to know what is the reason that the asset register are not updated. So we've got a problem there, and how are the department going to address this problem with the asset registers? And then the last question, Honorable Chair, is also on the Auditor General report, the irregular expenditure, as disclosed in Note 17 to the financial statement of 648 million rand. But I want a bit more information around this situation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. At least I would agree with my DA colleague in as far as the training is concerned, but not necessarily agree on the racial aspect and the xenophobic way of putting things across when he refers to other foreign nationals who are in South Africa seeking employment and so forth. Because much as we want to educate our people on being receptive to other foreign nationals, we should also not be trapped sometimes to argue and in our arguments profess xenophobic tendencies. The issue, Chair, that I find quite interesting, where I agree with him, is the question of training and what happens beyond training. I am aware that the report is the department is reporting on the cooperatives, for instance, that have been trained. But we don't get a sense of what has happened beyond that. On what were they trained on, how many are successful, how many, for instance, have been able to create jobs, create skills, and be able to participate in the mainstream of the economy and so forth, or are on ensuring or on a road that would ensure that the future is better for them. That also relates, Chair, to the very fundamental issue that we consistently raise as the NCP, the question of the breakdown. Yes, of course, the training as presented, it's global figures, but we don't have a sense of where these trainings are, how can we as members of parliament, because our responsibility in terms of oversight, I would want to know how many cooperatives have been trained in the Northern Cape. Where have they been trained? On what have they been trained? How many women, how many young people, and all those sorts of things. So that during my constituency period, I'm then able to visit some of them and so forth. Or even that would also serve to assist us as members of parliament to make use of some of the programs that the department is offering. If there's nothing that is happening in my constituency and there is capacity, for instance, that we can source from the department, one is then able to say, in my constituency, here is this program, can you come in and assist our people? But if we don't know, if we can't feel, if we can't see how these programs are beneficial, it's very difficult to say, can you come to my constituency and assist with regard to to some of the programs that the department is offering and so forth. The other matter that is quite important to me, you know, is this thing. I don't know, but if I misunderstood the department, I'll then need assistance on that. Because in the AG, for instance, in his report states that he identifies that the department did not comply with Section 38 and 1A(i) of the Public Finance Management Act, which gives an accounting officer certain responsibilities. Secondly, the Functional Risk Committee was not implemented as per the requirement of National Treasury Regulation. And the first thing that comes to mind is that not criminal? To have not done all those things. If certain things that happened outside the act would it not be criminal to have behaved in that particular way? And if it is, what is it that the department is doing to avoid these kind of things recurring and so forth? Because it is quite a problem. I mean, as Parliament on an annual basis, we pass a budget. There's nothing that the department can do if that budget is not passed by Parliament. And if now we get a report that says the budget that you passed, in actual fact, the people that implemented that budget did not even follow the acts that are governing the processes of utilization of such amounts of money and so forth. I don't know. I can't just find the slide. There are figures. I'm confused because it seems like the department understands. Yeah, here it is. It's on program contribute to employment creation. What program is that? Program 2, service delivery. On your provincial breakdown. The Eastern Cape, for instance, yeah, I would need assistance on that one. It says job seekers, 33,301. Total opportunities registered is 1,032. Learning opportunities registered is 464. Job seekers placed in employment, 1,009. Job seekers placed in learning opportunities, 464. Percentage placed in jobs, 97%. Percentage placed in opportunities, 100%. But if I read with my own layman arithmetic, I see 464, 1009 plus, and I add them up. There's nowhere that they come close to 33,301. If one can just be explained. What are these figures? What are they exactly speaking at? Am I reading wrongly or what? If that can be explained to me, I'll be very much happy, Chairperson. Over and above that, of course, based on the other things, I hope we'll have an opportunity to come back. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Chair. I would just like to generalize from my point of view. You know, it seems like most of the departments, if not all of them, are coming to the committees with huge and bulky reports. And, you know, it took the departments almost a couple of months to compile those reports. And then when they come to Parliament, to the committees, we do it in 3 hours' time. It's injustice to the public. I think in the new term we have to look at a different strategy. It is work done already. I think the purpose of this committee must be to find solutions together. Most of the departments come and they come picture rosy pictures for us. Come and tell us, identify the problems, be honest, so we can work together to a solution. I mean, I was sitting here going through this documentation and it is customs for the departments to come and read down what is here on the slide. I'm not going into depth. I think most of the departmental guests will fully agree. I prefer come to the committees, come with the problems, identify it. We are here selected by the people. So we work for the people. I thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Honorable
Chair.
Let me once again thank the department for the presentation. And also, earlier on, I forgot to apologize for the DG, who really did send an apology that he so much wished to be with us, but he's gone to the ILO conference in Geneva. He left yesterday. Advocate on your own program one, the bid process for HQ has been finalized and the work will start in 2009. It's now November. And I would like to know actually when will the job start. Also on program one, advocate on the operation service delivery for remote areas, enabled by providing IT service to 20 mobile labor centers. Even here, we really need a breakdown so that we are really informed of where these labor centers are, which provinces. And then program one also, just the first bullet on progress. 57 audit schedules for DOL. You completed 51 the factories, and then 15 could not be performed due to lack of resources. Do you have any plans now to make sure that the 15 also get service? And I also agree with Honorable Dow on the question of breakdowns of I'm not sure whether the services rendered to the breakdown on if you say we visited factories, you must know which factories in Mpumalanga or wherever, but now you've got only three provinces, Northwest, KZN, which is the other one, Western Cape. We must just also get that information from other provinces. If you don't have today, but before we adjourn, please give us that information so that when we are in our provinces, we really do the services, we give the services to our constituencies. And then on the breakdown, provincial breakdown also, I'll add to the question asked by Honorable Sibande, to say in Mpumalanga, learning opportunities, there is none. Register. Is it due to lack of information to the communities, job seekers placed in learning opportunities, also NEL, percentages placed in job opportunities, NEL, also for the Northern Cape is the same. Can you clarify us what is the problem here? What is the real problem that these places are really found to be like, it looks like there is no information. And then on the breakdowns of vulnerable workers, where you visited, can we get the breakdown also on these places? I mean, on places visited and the findings. And we must just get to what were the challenges and what did you do as the department to make sure that you this vulnerable workers are assisted. I'll stop. Oh, no. Yeah, you know, this one of gender breakdown, I appreciate. Let me congratulate you for that. I appreciate, but I would like to know, in the Department of Labor, do you have a gender focal point? And if there is one, at what level is the person heading that focal point? I don't want to say a desk or a unit. Well, let me say a unit. But it's a gender focal point, because that person must really, that unit must look across the whole department whether gender mainstreaming is being implemented in the department. So at what level is that person, and how many staff members are in that unit? Yeah, thank you. Over to you, Acting DG.
Thank you.
Okay,
sorry.
No,
thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I was looking at time. We might not have the opportunity to come. With due respect, I wanted to suggest that the department shouldn't even respond to the issue of the labor brokering, because it's a political process. Over and above what they will be reporting on, we have got our own views on what should happen and how the process must unfold and so forth. So it shouldn't, I think it will be compromising the department at the end of the day.
Sorry.
No, I don't think so. I ask a question about the percentages. That has nothing to do with politics. So they can answer that.
I thought the member was saying that the department must save them.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry for this.
Okay.
But, you know, you...
Don't get the that's his only, that's the true ideological posture of his part. Yes, and of course, I mean, Chair, without really going much into some of the other details, I mean, it should also be understood that the Select Committee receives an annual report of 2008-2009, which was approved at the point when this committee did not even have the benefit of the strat plan. And it becomes very difficult for a thorough engagement, because we don't know exactly what is it that the department said in 2008 you want to achieve. So that we are then able to benchmark it against what they are reporting today in order to hold them accountable on, you said you're going to do this, and this is what you have not done. And I couldn't find it in the report to say, when we submitted the budget to you, program by program, we said we wanted to do the following, and we had not achieved that. All that I could get from the department was that they have spent 97% of their budget. Numerically, of course, it may sound very good that the department, but how do you then quantify that against the objectives and priorities that they had set themselves for 2007 and 2008
2009. If it is possible that in the limited time that we have, that the acting DG can quickly reflect on that, it would be quite assisting to us, because next year, when we deal now with their threat plan moving forward, we are then able to look at that against what they said they are going to do, what they said they are going to achieve, and moving forward, what is it that they can do? Do they have the capacity? And I'm raising this against the backdrop, because I'm not sure to what extent departments informed of the Money Bills and Other Related Matters Act, which in the main, from now on moving forward, is going to empower even Parliament in relation to the appropriation of the budget. To even say, when you present something, we can say no, but you are incapable of using your funds. You don't need that money. We are not going to approve that particular amount of money that you are requesting. And that is what that act, that is the extent to which that act empowers Parliament. So I just thought that I must bring it to the attention of the department so that we have a clear picture on from now on as we move forward what are the challenges that we are going to be faced with in the future. Thanks.
Okay,
thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members, with good questions that we'll do our best to answer. I think if we categorize the questions, there are questions on financial management, there are questions on inspection and enforcement, service delivery and training and development, and also on corporate services, and we have able members here who are going to deal with those matters. Chairperson, I'll try to answer some of the questions that have been raised, and then I'll give over to my colleagues to deal with different questions. I will broadly talk about the issues of the audit report, the Auditor General's report. We have, of course, been found wanting on the financial management, especially on the department with regard to assets. But what the DG has done is to have a forum that we call Audit Matters, where every month all the queries that have been given by the Auditor General are dealt with. Members will present to the DG, and the DG will actually give then a progress report in that regard. Over and above that, we have actually tasked the internal audit of the department to specifically focus their audits on what the Auditor General has said, because we have an external audit and the internal. So the internal is inside. So whatever the Auditor General says is wrong, we must do something as management, but internal audit must give the DG an assurance. But we also have an internal audit steering committee meeting where we do come and present to the Auditor General the progress that we are making in terms of the queries that we have received. Now, the issue of criminality when you don't do things the way you're supposed to do, coming from Honorable Member Tau, is quite a valid question, but it also depends on the person. There are different kinds of reports that are given. Sometimes the Auditor General doesn't find the total breakdown in a control. He finds that there is a control but is not effective because of the period. Now, what we must do is to revise that particular process. But there are serious matters where, for instance, there's fraud within the department that could take place. There's criminality, and we have there are cases where there is an investigation and people who are found to have defrauded the department or government, then are charged, and there are also processes where criminal charges are open against those particular people. Now, the issue of a strategic plan, Chairperson, the Minister of Labour, before he tables his budget vote in Parliament, it's a tradition that we present to the Portfolio Committee of Labour. I think the gap is that we haven't presented here. But that process goes to Parliament, where there will be a debate on that. What is debated there is based on our strategic plan. But we also table the strategic plan in terms of what is required by government for us to be able to do that. I think the other page that we talked about, Chairperson, which is very important that we need to look at, I think is on the placement and job seekers. Maybe we need to just give context on that. It's, I think it's page 21 on the statistics, and I think Sianda will actually help in regard of on what is actually indicated there. Or the trip, yeah, it is page 20. What we have, if we can just explain that slide, is that you have in the Eastern Cape about 33,301 people who, yeah, it's page 20, slide 20, sorry, slide 20. Now, what it means is that we have a system that we call ESSA. People come to register, they want work. Now, these are the number of people that come to seek work. Now, from our side, we also have a responsibility to register job opportunities. We need to find employers who want to have these people. Unfortunately, we only have 1,035 opportunities. That is, the employers who are there to say, we want to have these people. So there's a big gap there. And I think this is a global problem that we're facing as a country because of also this economic meltdown. Now, in terms of learning opportunities, you have 464, which we also believe is not adequate, as we see that the Eastern Cape is quite a big a province. But, Chairperson, what we have done now in terms of the percentage, in the, just to explain them, is that on the job opportunities, you have 1,035, but you were able to place in those, out of 333,000, you were able to place 1,009. And that is your 97% placement rate. Now, on the training opportunities, you see that we have 464, and then we have actually placed 464, which is then gives us 100%, which means based on the opportunities that we have, we were able to do that. We don't have a situation in the Eastern Cape where there are job opportunities and learning opportunities, and but we did not put people in those opportunities. So that those are the rates that are there. But it is regrettable, and this is in case the problem that we have, that 33,000 people who are on our database could not get jobs. But we also need to say as a department, this is something that we're doing now. We have a system, and we believe that, I think the DDG Service Leader has actually talked about the rollout of the ESSA system throughout and also to improve the system to be able to do better. When this process matures, we really want to place as many people as possible. Chairperson, I think from there I'll ask her to maybe expand on Gauteng North and Mpumalanga where there is no placement.
Just a quick one, Chair. Just a quick one, for purposes of my own understanding. Is everything that you're saying, 33,301 are the thousands that are unemployed that went to the department?
Yes.
To say, I'm unemployed, I need employment, I've got these skills, blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
And then the 1,035 is the Honorable Groenewald, who then says, we've got these companies, we can employ so many people and so forth.
Yes.
All right, fine. If that is the case, and then out of 1,009 were placed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now I understand. So the remainder is still under the database of job seekers. Yes. Oh, no, I'm good. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, DJ, and thank you, Chairperson. I think the acting DJ has explained that question in terms of placement, registration of workers and placement. And I must indicate here that although the system has been rolled out to all labor centers across the country, but it still has its own challenges in terms of effectiveness and efficiency. also there are areas which are not working properly. Like, for instance, when you register, we have a registered opportunity. You have to match that with the skills contained in the database. We still need to do some enhancements in terms of the system efficiency in this regard. So that's why you will see in many areas that we don't actually place people 100% in all areas. So it's still something that we're still working on. Around on the question of Mpumalanga and Gauteng North, where there are no learning opportunities, again, here we're dependent on the requests that are put to the department, because the sitters will come, or some employers will come and request people to be assessed for learnerships or for internships, and those people will then be assessed within the department and be referred for placement in learnerships and internships. So if we have a zero there in Mpumalanga, it means there were no people, there were no requests received in terms of placement in learnerships and internships. Same applies with Gauteng. And I must indicate also, Chairperson, here, with regard to rendering in employment services to the clients, we haven't been rendering or offering all those services within the employment services. Like, for instance, we have a counseling services, a provision of career guidance and counseling to clients that we haven't been doing, especially in the year that we're reporting. We haven't been doing that because in some labor centers, we don't have career counselors, which we've started appointing towards the end of the year, last year, and in this current year. So those services, which should be offered by career counselors, were not offered in labor centers where we don't have career counselors. So now we are appointing career counselors in labor centers. In terms of placement on critical and scarce skills program, the number there is 7,343, but I'll give my colleagues from provinces to just give examples in terms of those critical and scarce skills program which people were referred to. The targets having set very low, you mentioned Eastern Cape and KZN. Again, here it's in this area that I indicated of assessment of job seekers. The targets are set in terms of what we have achieved, of the performance of the previous year. What have we achieved in the previous year with what resources? Then we set a target. And then that national target is broken down per province. And you see also in the targets per province, they are not like the same, because it also looks at, we have to also look at their performance in the previous year and also the resources at their disposal. So it's the same kind of problem there. I've spoken to no learning opportunities in Mpumalanga. When it comes to decrease in workplaces visited, but increase in compliance, here I've mentioned during my presentation that we're experiencing a challenge in terms of staff turnover within inspectorate, where our inspectors leave for better opportunities, better remuneration within other government departments and also within the private sector, because they are paid better there. So we've experienced that problem. Still is a challenge within the department currently. That's why we said in our report we haven't achieved the target we set ourselves based on what we have achieved in the previous year in terms of workplaces inspected. We haven't achieved that target because we had a depleted inspectorate due to staff turnover. But what we have achieved is the compliance, maybe because we focused on smaller numbers of employers in this year, we managed to ensure that compliance is achieved within the specified time period, which is 90 days, by inspected employers. So the compliance level increased if you compare it to the previous year. But I'll ask the chief inspector here also to expand on this one and the question on professionalization in terms of what is the progress and where are we with regards to professionalization of the inspectorate. The validity of statistics in terms of complaints, again, here, the information, we don't have information here with us. But in provinces, there is information because inspectors in labor centers conduct inspections. They've got records of workplaces visited, which employers, in which sectors. So if that information is required, it can be provided because in a province, there is that evidence in terms of the statistics because then they send statistics to a national consolidation at national level. But it will be contained there. Again, in terms of the type or the nature of complaints received in which sectors, again, here it's information that provinces can provide because they've got that information. But generally, it's around disputes around wages, working hours, overpayment of overtime, and things like that. But I'm just saying, I'm just mentioning the examples here. The high number of incidents in occupational health and safety, I'll again give the chief inspector and my colleagues from provinces to answer that question. Chairperson, again, in terms of training, and the breakdown that we have given, as I indicated again here in respect of inspectorate, it's the same kind of situation where I will then say if that information is required, that we provide information in terms of saying in this province, if we have trained 100 people, let us indicate in which areas those people have been trained, in which what skills development programs. I think that information is available. It can be provided if it's required. Thank you. I'll ask the chief inspector to talk to professionalization inspection.
Sorry, that information is required. If you can just send it to the committee secretary and then we will distribute it to members, and not forgetting that we are adjourning soon, we must have that information.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. With regards to the progress on the implementation of professionalization, we are currently we've done a skills audit of our inspectors, and we've realized that 59% of our inspectors do not have qualifications that are relevant to the work that we are doing. And as a result, we're now developing training which is geared towards addressing the deficiency that exists there. We have also established a task team, a roving inspector task team, which is currently undergoing a training which is meant to equip them with skills to do incident investigation, because if you looked at the report that Ms. Zondeki has presented here, you would have noticed that
we received in excess of 5,000 reports on incidents that have happened, and we could only investigate 2,000 and odd incidences, and that has to do with the capacity to do the investigation. So what we're doing now is to make sure that we have inspectors who can do that work. We have inspectors who can focus on the different areas, construction. We have inspectors who can specialize in mechanical and electrical related fields. And we have inspectors who can specialize in health and in occupational health and hygiene. So that's the capacity that we are currently building, and we can assure members that by the end of this financial year, we would have completed the capacity building. One of the things also that we're doing is we have categorized our inspectors now into three levels: generalist inspector, principal inspector, and a specialist inspector, because in the past everybody was just doing everything, and we realized that by adopting that approach, we're not achieving what we're supposed to achieve. Now, we have developed job profiles for the different categories, and our human resource development, our human resource program is busy with the job evaluation of the principal inspector and the specialist inspector, because we have to look at the level at which those two categories will be placed. And we think that, you know, by doing that, we'll be able to stem the tide with respect to the number of inspectors that are leaving the department. And also we hope that we will find money finally to upgrade the inspectors such that we have these levels, generalist inspector, principal, and the specialist. But in terms of training, we're currently preparing them for that, so that by the time we're ready, we can simply assess the competencies and push people to the required level. The issue of the why there are incidents, high incidents in KZN, before the financial year 2008-09, we sat down and we looked at the number of critical areas, and we using, for instance, the statistics from compensation and the FEMA, which is the Federated Employers Mutual Association, we realized that construction is a major issue in KZN, and agriculture is a major issue in KZN, and manufacturing, and I'm sure that members will be familiar with what happened at ASMANC. And so that's why KZN has got a high incident rate. Thanks, Chairperson.
Chairperson, first of all, I'd like to thank the department once more about their response. But some of this response, in particular the question which I've raised about the professional breakdown and some of the things, it raises serious concern, of which if possible we want to recommend something. It means that there is no capacity in Mpumalanga. You can check in the slides which you gave us, because you indicated that it depends, I'm subject for correction, it depends from the requisition from the province. If they can't, you mean about three papers where there's nothing from Mpumalanga, that means there's no capacity. On this provision breakdown, another slide also about the enhanced skills development training in support of government program, EPW, nothing from Mpumalanga as well. And then go to the third page as well, Mpumalanga again, in Bohlabelo, whatever, you see, I'm really concerned. Therefore, if there's no capacity in department in Mpumalanga, my recommendation, I know that we don't have that power to do whatever, will request the DG to intervene, or else to revamp that particular sector. To me, also, it brings to our attention that that is the reason why some of the provinces are not brought here, because some of the provinces are here. If they were here, they would be going to respond for themselves. So, ma'am, I need your support as well, that we call the DG to revamp that office, because there's no capacity at all. And why I'm raising that concern as well, if you go well, if you check the population of Mpumalanga is now growing very fast, and if you check the reality there, on what was raised by my colleague, Honorable Dow, earlier on, some people, they forget about the brain, issue of the brain drain. We are sharing the borders. We have a lot of people who are unemployed. And I don't know whether your system, our systems talking to each other in terms of the IT, because you raised that you have established that sector as well. But I'm not sure whether our systems are talking to each other in order to get proper statistics about those issues. Because I know I'm from Mpumalanga. The high rate of unemployment is very, very high. And my concern, why I'm raising this thing, sometimes to other people, if I might sound otherwise, they are happy when they see some of other things which are happening in Mpumalanga in particular. But the finger always is being pointed somewhere, while the relevant people who support to provide those particular services are just sleeping there, doing nothing. Nobody's charging them. Because another question which I was going to raise to the DG is that if you realize that these things are happening in Mpumalanga in particular, what step have you taken in that regard? Because we're supposed to have a report that, so that my colleague was correct to say, we need to work together, because we believe that working together we can do more. And we can't just predict if you don't tell us. But if you tell us that here is your problem, and I think it is going to be proper. Because another thing which is very sensitive is other people are not people are forgetting. We are the ones who made it possible with your budget. We need to be motivated in order to make it sure that your budget is successful. But if I'm not, if there's no fruit, so why should I? Therefore, I don't know when, because I regret my colleagues to assist me about the issue of the deadline. And as from today up until when, we need a full report about those recommendations which you have recommended in that regard. Thank you, Chairperson.
There's a follow-up on the questions which I asked Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, in this document, I said I focused only on this document. On page 58, there's a table there, program 3. If you go to that table, the first row, column 1, 2, 3, it says annual target for 2008-2009, 84 government departments spend at least 1% of personnel budget on training. That is the target. When you go to the next column on performance results, only 65 government departments, which is 77%, spend at least 1%. Now, here I'm asking this Chairperson for oversight purposes. I want to know which are these government departments which are not yet spending that 1%. So I'm not going to agree, Chairperson, that this question is overlooked. The second one, Chair, same page. You are talking in the third row there of a total of
1,406 small PE firms and PE cooperatives which are supported with skills development.
Now, my question is, once more, which of these skill development programs are there? Because we have to know, so that when we go back there, we are able to say, look, this is what is done for you. And lastly, even last question on the Auditor General's report. Where in that last page of the report, I was saying page 87, with that paragraph, where the Auditor General is saying there has been lack of effective, efficient, and transparent systems and internal control. And the question is, why did the department have to shift, for instance, funds from capital expenditure? Why? We must be told. Otherwise, Chairperson, if the department is not able to give answers, we will have to resort to writing questions to the minister.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Member. Let's give it to the department to respond.
Chairperson, we are answering all questions. We started with issues of service delivery. We dealt briefly on the issues of the audit report and inspection. So the colleagues, if members could be patient, we will answer all questions, because Mr. Mrotoba here will deal with the issues of skills development and financial management. Mr. Maduna is also ready to answer. I think, Chairperson, the issue that you raised about Mpumalanga, we did hear your concerns. We will delve deep into this matter, look at it, and then I think we will write a report to you to really explain these disparities or a lack of performance in that regard. I just need to indicate that these are some of the new initiatives that the department is coming up with, and maybe there is an issue of communication so that the public out there could know that there are these services that we provide, and we can then be able to get a lot of people coming, and even the people who come and register learning opportunities and also the job opportunities. But we'll then provide you with that report, Chairperson, and we will do the intervention within a period of 1 week. By next week, Tuesday, we'll then provide you with that investigative report. Without waste of time, I'll give over to Mr. Mrotoba to deal with the issues of skills, especially those that have been raised by honorable member right now. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, I'm going to address a number of questions. The first one relates to the critical skills. I think my colleague did indicate that we provide that information, but the critical skills list, even now you can access it on the Department of Labor's website. It is published, it's there, but we will facilitate and assist the secretariat to print a copy. We normally post this kind of information on the website because we realize the kind of demand that exists. We also produce small booklets that we distribute through our provincial offices, and we're happy to provide those booklets. The question around the contribution to employment creation. Now, Honorable Chairperson, this is something that we also had to deal with in a parliamentary question, and I just extracted the information that was forwarded. The Minister for Public Works, the Department of Public Works, was tasked by Cabinet to compile or coordinate information from the various departments. And we were asked also as a contributor to that department to provide information, and that information will be released. But just to give you a sense, as the Department of Labor, firstly, we contributed towards this initiative through the National Skills Fund Strategic Projects. And just on these projects that are run through the various premier's offices, wherein we have given them almost R1 billion to assist them towards the growth and development strategy. I can just give you a rundown of figures. In Limpopo, we received a report of 461 Northwest, 589 Mpumalanga, 150 KZN, 160 Free State, 350, and the Eastern Cape, 152. The reports from the Western Cape and the Northern Cape were still outstanding when we compiled this report. But beyond that, we also had a target that we agreed with the EPWP, the Department of Public Works, where we have given them money under the National Skills Fund. And the agreement there was that they will spend money in the creation of about 50,000 jobs. So the money that they are using in that department comes from the Department of Labor as part of that corporation. We also, as part of this Capital Works project, and the Advocate Pasha did indicate that the REM project that was delayed over the years is now currently underway, wherein the department will, during this current financial year, spend in the region of $46.4 million to repair the Department of Labor head office, the provincial offices, and the labor centers. And those honorable members who are familiar with how the contracting process works is that when the Department of Public Works issue a contract, they also expect out of the people who are going to maintain the building to indicate the number of jobs that the contractor is going to create as a result of being awarded that contract. And because most of these projects had just started, we should maybe within a week or a month so receive from the Public Works Department the total number of jobs that the various contractors that they awarded this contract to, that is in terms of the number of jobs. If you come to the Department of Labor now, it's Hamas, it's it's all sorts of drilling and all that. People are busy there because this REM project has been delayed for some time. And again, we should be able to give you an indication of the number of jobs that have been created to contribute towards the president's call. We also have the training layoff, which has it started slowly. With the $2.4 billion that we set aside under the NSF and the Unemployment Insurance Fund is targeting 120,000 people in terms of saving those jobs. We know that there is a thin line between saving jobs and creating new jobs. But if we don't intervene, obviously those jobs would be lost. And I think there is an acceptance that through this intervention, we will be able to save a number of jobs. Now, just in the first 3 weeks of the scheme, already we dealt with 24 companies. Out of the 24, the majority opted for retrenchment, but 9 companies with a total combined force of 3,000 are going to embark on the training layoff. And we are in the final stages of giving them money to embark on that project. I'm saying these numbers, Honorable Chairperson, with confidence and certainty in that the Department of Labor will be able to say out of the 5,000 jobs that the President has announced, this is our contribution to that number. That excludes the number of people who are on the IUI receiving interim relief and all that, because those are not real jobs. They are receiving interim relief. But in a way, if you look at a person who has lost a job, if that person is receiving income from the unemployment insurance fund, that person is able to put food on the table. Now, if you look at the large number of people who have lost their jobs due to the global recession that are currently queuing in the unemployment insurance fund and receiving money, they may not be in new jobs, but that interim relief is helping, and we have not included those numbers. I want to also address the question of training people and so what. We accept, Honorable Chairperson, that training in itself does not lead to a job. But training is a prerequisite for people to get a decent job. Now, we have had a situation in the country 2 years ago or a year and a half ago before the recession, where people were complaining that we will not be able to complete all this 2010 big projects, how train, the big freeway renovation projects, you know, Eskom power stations, and so on and so on. And the argument was that we don't have skills, let us open our borders to people from external countries. And you train people, there's a recession. Obviously, recession has its own implications. What we console ourselves with is that if you train people in the relevant skills, when the economy peaks, we will not find ourselves in that situation. That is why the minister was very central in making a call to companies in this country to say, let us use the quiet time instead of retrenching workers to train people so that we don't find ourselves in that situation that we were in a year ago when the economy was peaking and people complaining about skills shortage in the country. Because you are sitting with a difficult situation. We have got a lot of young people who are unable to get employment because they lack skills. You train them, and all of a sudden people say, no, why do you train them? When on the other hand, people also argue that we can't employ the local young people in the jobs that exist because they don't have skills. As the best option, let us rather go to Taiwan, let us go to Thailand to bring those people in the country. And I think this is something that it's becoming an academic debate, because training our people prepares them for jobs, and I think where we have prepared people, we have seen through the research that we have commissioned on learnerships, for instance. The HSRC, that report is public. It's on the HSRC website. We can provide booklets. They have found that in the learnership, the placement rate is at 70%. In apprenticeships, the placement rate is between 90 and 95%, because these are artisans. On the training of unemployed people, the placement rate was at around 68%. But those are short-term jobs, and these are training initiatives that happen in provinces and all that. But we believe that once a person has gained the skills, even though they can be placed in a short-term job, if we have, you know, tracking system, we should be able to track these people down to check what they are doing. But we do believe that with the skills that they've gained, they can also embark into in some self-income generating intervention, rather than to leave our people without excuse there, because if you look at, and I will not go into the issue of our colleagues from Mozambique and other areas, but we have gone to Mozambique, we have gone to Zimbabwe, but even here, even without full-time employment, people from neighboring countries are able to survive in this country because they have skills, whether it's shoemaking, whether it is plastering, it's doing whatever. And I think if we also empower our own people with those skills, at the end of the day, you will be they will be able to survive in a number of areas through FMEs and all that. Just on the government departments, I must agree with the honourable member that yes, we had difficulties in other government reporting. I think the lack of the reason for variance, which is what we put under page 58, which is lack of cooperation, it is mainly around the reporting, and we do have a list of those departments that we can provide, because it may be that they use the money, but because they did not report, we don't have the evidence that suggests that they use the money, and that information we can provide. In so far as the SMMEs and BEE firms, we this links to the broader question around how do we set targets. Now, we have a 5-year national skills development strategy. Before you set up the strategy, we go into extensive consultation. We look at the income that we are going to receive. We look at the amount of training cost, etc. And through that process, we are able to come up with a national target. And out of that, we are able to then say, in these instances, on SMME and BEE, our target will be X based on the national target. Now, sometimes you may have seen in other areas where we don't achieve the target, in some areas where we achieve the target. There was a question around the budget implications. Now, where the programs move slowly, either because of recruitment or because of lack of interest, what we have been able to do is to look at the programs that are speeding up, that are taking more people, and in that process you do a variment where you then shift funds from the programs that are moving slowly to programs that are taking on more people, and in that way you are able to deal with that problem of overachievement, because there it goes with the interest, it goes with companies employing people in those areas, rather than to leave money in the areas where there are less people, there's less interest, and so on. And targets are, it's a challenge. You just put it as a milestone that you can work towards. The irregular expenditure. I did explain that we did have a process which was approved by the DG, which was in line with legislation, and it has been used in the department. There was no problem around it. The problem came in when the new supply chain regulations came in, and that we did not stop the training processes that we were having at the time. That resulted in that expenditure being termed as irregular. We could not prosecute anybody because the way in which the procurement was done was in line with the initial approved processes. It's just that it did not align with the new regulations. And to align with the regulations, that is why we had to stop the training process. Now, the choice that we had was to cancel even contracts that were in existence, that were signed already, and align the process with the new supply chain. But the downside of that process is that we would be even today in court defending, or in some cases paying people for having done nothing, defending the contracts that we cancelled, or basically trying to deal with litigation factors. So the choice that we had was to say, Treasury, you are putting us in a difficult position because these changes came in the middle when we signed contracts. And the way that they advised us to handle this matter was to say you will have to disclose it in your annual financial statement, which is what we did. We asked for condonation, and because the amount involved was high and because we did not stop then, they said no, we should have stopped, but they couldn't explain why, what is it that we're supposed to do with contracts that were signed already. Which is why I said, even though we stopped training last year, because there are learners that are still in the system, even next year, for the learners that remain in the system on contracts that were signed before, that amount will still appear in the 9-10 financial year as irregular expenditure because of that problem. And I think the Auditor General understood there was very little we could do. We had to suffer and deal with that problem in that way, or pay people for having done nothing because of the litigation that would have arisen, and would have had to spend more money defending ourselves in court, trying to deal with that problem. And that is why we allowed the training. We accept that the procurement was not in line with the supply chain, but we had to allow it to come to the conclusion. I think I answered a number of those things here.
Chairperson, we will ask Mr. Kedildas to deal with most of Mr. Groenewald's question on the issues of people who come into the country. There's a process with the Department of Home Affairs. I think he'll explain those processes better.
Thank you, Chairperson.
And he must also tell us about Australia, not only the Zimbabweans and Mozambicans, but those who come from Australia and Britain as well.
Those kangaroos. The kangaroos. Chair, there was a question about the workforce. What's the workforce from Mr. Groenewald? The economically active population is just on 17 million people, and employed we have 12.9 million people. And as you know, the recently released labor force survey indicates that 24.5% of those are unemployed, or about 4.2 million people are unemployed. So that's the country's workforce figures. The issue of migrants. The Department of Home Affairs administers the immigration legislation, and where we have migrants coming into the country, economic migrants, people looking for work, they are required to be properly documented, and where they are employed by companies, they are supposed to have work permits. Now, the Department of Home Affairs processes applications for work permits, but they do consult with our Department of Labor offices in the various provinces with regard to whether or not such permits should be granted. Because the first criteria in determining whether or not a work permit should be issued is whether the skill for which that a person is supposed to be employed, whether that is not available already in South Africa. So our officers then liaise with the... And secondly, we also have to determine that the conditions under which those people are going to be employed are not less favorable. Are not less favorable. It's 3G people on computers. We must also determine that the conditions under which those people are to be employed are not less favorable than the conditions for workers in that particular sector. For example, you find in the Limpopo province
you find many Zimbabweans being employed on the farms. Now, those workers are entitled to the same minimum wages, the same conditions of employment that South African workers are entitled to. So there is a process to try and tighten up on that, because you do find that some of these migrant workers are in employment unlawfully, illegally, where either the employer did not get a permit or these people just wander onto farms and work and expect that the employers pay them at the end of the month. But that is monitored through our inspection system. So when inspections are done on farms, people also, inspectors would also look at that situation. The sectoral determination for farm workers in particular also set out what standard of housing or accommodation should be provided for such people, because you can't just take people, put them into a container or under a plastic sheeting and call that accommodation or housing. So those standards are also strictly monitored through the inspection system. So we have quite a large number of cross-border migration, which is not people from Australia, but from Zimbabwe, from Mpumalanga, and from Lesotho. And in Lesotho, you get people, Lesotho workers are good in sheep shearing. So you do get quite a number of sheep shearers, for example, from Lesotho that work in the Free State. You also get, during the seasonal fluctuation of agriculture, that sometimes they bring in workers that pick asparagus on the Free State farms. Asparagus, you know, that green thing like your finger. It's nice when you eat it. To pick those. So you do find situations like that. But you also do find migrants from outside of the neighboring states. You know, you do find perhaps highly skilled people coming from Australia or other places in Europe, even other parts in Africa, which you do find people. But when they are employed in South Africa, it must be in terms of work permits, and of course they must be properly documented, have a visa or an ID document or a passport, whatever the case may be, those kinds of things. So there is that relationship between the Department of Labor and the Department of Home Affairs in regard to those people that are employed from outside of the country. There was the issue about labor brokers. Now, there was the warning that we shouldn't go into that, but we don't want to go into that, because there is a process underway in NEDLAC at the moment, out of which draft legislation would emerge. And once that is done, then the draft legislation will be taken to Cabinet and be brought to Parliament for debate here. So there's quite interesting time still ahead of us on that issue. We cannot give information with regard to how many labor brokers are owned by whites or how many labor brokers are owned by blacks. We just don't have, not even for properly operating companies, we don't even have that information. Are you protecting the members amongst themselves? That yeah. So we unfortunately cannot deal with that question, Chairperson. Thank you.
I wish to give Mr. Chauke and Advocate Pasha and also the CFO to address your questions and also the Auditor General's concern.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Honorable Members. On the issue of gender, the answer is that at the head office we have a deputy director and two assistant directors responsible for gender issues, but at the present moment we are creating the post of a director special project. The post has been evaluated, but we are still waiting for ministerial approval. That is where we are at the present moment. And then on the issue of remote labor centers, the question is that the province, I mean, the answer is that the province, we do have two mobile centers here, the PACs. Yes, that is the answer for that one. And on the issue of the internal audit, the audits, this one is a serious problem because of one thing. At the present moment, we have only four vacant positions. We are busy filling the posts, but now the problem is always that when you fill the positions, most of the time you find that the junior officials apply for those higher positions, and then when you fill the post with those officials, down there the positions becomes vacant again. Normally, it is the internals who normally get the post because they already know the department better and it's easier for them to get positions. So it's difficult to say that at any particular moment you can have a full staff component. People also, they do apply to go outside, and it's difficult to say that when can you have this. The bid process, the 2009 issue, the chief financial officer would prefer to answer the question personally.
Then, sir, I think the REM contract has been addressed by SAM, the one that is currently underway at head office. So I think that one has been addressed. On the issue of the qualification for the department on the asset register, I have to mention that I think the initiatives by the department to address the asset register for the reporting period started very, very late. The full complement of the asset management unit was well started in January 2009. As a result, there wasn't too much time to get the assets ready for the audit at the end of March. Hence the opinion by the Auditor General. But we are happy to say that now there is a full capacity on the asset management unit, and they are addressing the issues, and the progress thereof is reported at the audit matters meeting, the one that the acting DG has mentioned. The issue of the cell phones for the former employees, by the Chartered Employment Factories, that was an oversight on the management of the cell phones, and the plans are underway to correct this, and it's also monitored at the audit matters forum, because it's part of the audit query as well. In terms of page 87 on the lack of effective, efficient and transparent systems and internal controls regarding the performance management, this, to my understanding, that is raised by the Auditor General on the understanding that from this current year, they will start reporting on the performance information. So they are just alerting us to start or to put measures in place for us to be able to measure the performance and be able to be audited on it. I think those are the issues that I've picked up that I can respond to. Thank you.
Chairperson, there was a question. Unfortunately, Mr. Fransman, honourable member, is not here, but Felsman, thanks. On the issues of what are the challenges that we face? I think we, as a department, if we look on page 36, that has actually affected us in a great deal. Slide 36 is that our target was 90,000 unemployed people were supposed to be trained, and Mr. Mrotoba has dealt with it, that because of the query from the AG, we are unable to train people throughout that period. Then if we look at the deficit there between 90,000 and 15, we were unable to train 75,000 people, and that also, if we were able to do this, the issue of Mpumalanga could have also been addressed in putting people in placement opportunities. But also, the economic meltdown is affecting all of us in terms of people being retrenched. We see a number of people coming to the UIF to claim. Fortunately, we are able to execute the process of
of payment in that regard. Those are the issues that we face as the department. But the issue of inspection, Ms. Lamates has alluded to it, that we have actually acknowledged that our inspection and enforcement services is weak. That's why we have this issue of making them professional. But also in our plan, we're doing these inspections. I think in the newspapers, we have seen that we've gone to the malls where we ensure that people are complying with the UIF, COIDA, and all other labor legislation. So we are actually doing our best to ensure that we'll have a very good report when we come back to you, Chairperson. Thanks.
Provinces. That's an order, Chairperson. Okay. I think all the questions have been answered. Let me thank you very much for the information that you have shared with us and the responses that you have really given to us. This is the department that when we say we want provincial breakdown, you really do. But today there are some there and there that we will be waiting for you to send to us before the adjournment of Parliament. And let me thank you very, very much, and thanks to honorable members. Like I always tell you, that we are few in the NCOP, and we've got different committees. That's why you see members, this one going and then coming back. You know, we try to do many things at the same time. But thank you very much. We will be having a strategic planning at the beginning of the year. We will, as we've done before, Mr. Kettledas and Mr. Maruto, we will invite the department. And thank you once more. Thank you. You are invited for lunch, but we'll take it outside so that you are able to, you know, help ourselves as well, you know, because there is we're going to be just congested. Honorable members, thank you very much. DG?
Chairperson, the UIF and compensation fund, I assume that will give us another date.
Yes, we will. We will definitely, because now the time has. Yeah. There is another meeting coming here, another committee coming here at 2:30. Okay.